Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So, no comic books in the back issues. I got back from Hawaii, so didn't get much done in terms of buying back issues. I was gonna buy some today. I went to the LCS, but man, was there a bad case of comic book BO going on in there, and I got as fast as I could out of there so it wouldn't be like an episode of Seinfeld where it like clings on to me. But I picked up my books. I picked up a Marvel Previews, and man, there's a lot going on with this Blood Hunt, and I did get vested in it, so it's gonna cost me a pretty penny. And the other thing that looked really interesting to me is the Godzilla omnibus is solicited here. I could have sworn it was already solicited, but I want that even though I have the original black and white essential and the individual issues and the Micronauts Volume 2. So, there is also a Spider-Man Michelinie Larson omnibus, and I am very, very tempted for that one. It's the new printing. I don't own the first one. I do like to have the Eric Larson and McFarlane Michelinie books. I think they're fantastic. So, there's that. Plus, I have scaled down on my Epic collections, but I'm getting Daredevil still, and Defenders, and there's a new Defenders Epic collection. And then DC's gonna start doing Epic collections, so we'll just have to see. With the DC stuff, I own most of the content though. It's weird. So, well, same with the Marvel, I guess you could say. Especially lately, I've increased my back issue stock of Marvel quite substantial the last 20 years, building a quite impressive list. I did want to put out a thank you, a belated thank you to Gary Arkell for sending me. There was maybe three Wizard magazines, two Wizard convention handouts or magazines, I guess you could call them, from Wizard conventions, and also a Heroes Illustrated. And I wanted to spotlight a couple things in this one. Haven't started reading it. I've read most of this already. Gary probably heard me talk about how much I loved reading the Wizard magazines, but I threw them all out. So I would read them and then throw them away after I was done. So I think I collected Wizard like almost from like issue 10 all the way up till it died on the comic stand. There might be a few months that I had, but had not. But for the most part, I threw away all my news magazines like Comic Scene. Had a pretty good run of that, and regrettably, but I have picked up a few of those recently at an antique shop. I picked up like four of them, which is a long way from where I was. Like I had a hell of a collection of Comic Scene. I used to love to get that, especially for finding out what was going to be optioned on TV, even though like only 0.1% of what they put there was ever actually I implemented into something you could see at the time. There were, and then the Heroes Illustrated I collected. So I had a few of those, but I used to love to go through all the top magazines, and one of the things I liked was the company updates. I really like to hear the company updates. Cerebus was still being published. AC Comics was publishing Femme Force. They're still around, which is incredible to me. And I'm buying them. I started buying them. And I picked up quite a few back issues of Femme Force. Archie Comics had an interesting blurb in here. This would be a good issue to have. The name of Jughead's baby sister, whose nickname's been Jelly Bean for over a year now, will be revealed. The truth comes out in a two-part story starring Jughead in 71, shipping in May, and concluding with the long-anticipated revelation in 72, shipping in June. So that's two issues of I Know I Don't Own. That would be interesting to see. Stan Goldberg and Mike Esposito share the art chores on Betty 27. Holds a new appearance of Archie's answer to the bad girl craze, Betty Cooper Super Sleuther. The clever Miss Cooper will investigate a sabotage mystery in a story by writer Bob Boyling and artist Doug Crane. That'd be interesting. August House has The Dark and Fudang, which I don't have any of that stuff. Blackout Comics, I have a few of these. They were publishing Extremes of Violent. I probably don't have that. And we'll continue with two more issues coming out in February and April. Two-issue Lady Vampire miniseries. I wonder if that ever came out. I have been buying Black Hawk, but that one, I mean Blackout Comics, but that one does not ring a bell with me. So I'm going to go to my database and type Lady Vampire. And it's there, so it was published. And it was by Blackout 19, and I do own it. So, hell, I own 0 and 1. And, there's a Lady Vampire in the Flesh. Is that the one that they're talking about? No, this is the mini series. I don't own that one. That has a cosplayer on the cover or a model on there. And then there's Lady Vampire Pleasures of the Flesh, I do own from Blackout. And Lady Vampire versus Black Lace, I own that. So you can see I've come a long way in my Blackout comics. There's a Lady Vampire, but that's from something totally disconnected. Lady X, Lust's Captive from Eros. Now that looks really cool. All right. It's back to the solicits here. The first issue will be black and white, but conclude color in May. Also added to the list is Blackout's comics, new crime-fighting duo, Miss Cyanide and Ice. I think I have that, but I'll check. Miss Cyanide and Ice. And I own number one, but I don't own number zero. This one I read, and I liked it. I did like it. So I need to seek that out. And Bongo, I don't have much of it, but I've been getting a lot of the number ones lately. Cartoon books, Bone stuff, but I don't know much about Bone, nor have had any interest, to tell you the truth. Kamiko, which ceased publishing in 1993, is set to return to the industry, guns a-blazing, with their launch date in May, in which there'll be their first miniseries, Oblivion. That sounds pretty cool. Let's see what that's about. Oblivion. And that would be. Let's see. Kamiko. Yeah, I don't own that. That looks interesting. For sure. And Elementals, I guess, was published over there. Oh, it says no. It says Elementals fans will cheer for the return of the title in two forms, a graphic novel called Ghost of Chance, and with the Alex Ross cover, and an ongoing series. So it is, there was an Elementals. I don't think I own that. I have picked up a lot of Elementals, but Elementals by Kimiko, I'm not sure. Elementals. I might have done some eBay thing on it while back, but there's that Ghost of a Chance. Let's see what that's about. So that was published in 1995. And Volume 3 was at Kamiko. And I own none of them. Oh, the covers look really nice, though. Is that the right? I don't see no Alex Ross cover. Let me see if I go back a volume. Oh, that'd be 1995. So that's 1989 Kamiko. So that was when they returned. And let's see. That's an Alex Ross cover. Elementals Ghost of a Chance. That's cool. That's one to seek out. So you can learn a lot, the stuff that you want. Definitely want that. Continuity has Nighthawk. I've been trying to fill in my continuity. I think I have that Nighthawk. I don't remember much of it. Nighthawk. This was an Acclaim thing. Yeah, there were four, six issues. I have a full run on that. So this was the Acclaim Windjammer. Dark Horse Comics has Superman versus Aliens. You know, believe it or not, I don't think I have that. I don't think I own that. Superman versus Aliens. I do have that. I don't remember reading it. That's for sure. They got Madman Comics. That one I don't have much of Madman, but I did buy the first library edition. Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot don't own. Danger Unlimited, I'm pretty sure I have that. That was they were having a trade paperback on that. Dark Moon Productions. Innovators, that sounds cool. What is that? Let's go check that out. Innovators. That never, maybe it never came out. Yeah. Did I spell it wrong? Yeah, I gave too many N's. Innovators. It did come out. One issue. We got Tom Signalski and Cesar Feliciano. That looks decent. I would definitely pick that up if I saw it. What else do they have coming out? Thespian. Master Thespian from Saturday Night Live? I don't know. Let's see if that came out. Because that's Thespian. No. I don't think so. At least it's not in my database. So it's interesting to run across things like that. DC Comics. John Byrne was taking over Wonder Woman. Ron Lim has moved to DC. Pencils for Hawkman. Do guest shots for Green Lantern and Flash. A new quarterly Superman title, Superman Man of Tomorrow by Stern and Grummet. And Chris Claremont's long-awaited Sovereign 7. Do-do-do. So I own all that, but maybe I don't Sovereign 7. Now, if I did pick that up, I didn't read it. I wasn't a big Claremont guy. I mean, I appreciate what he's done for sure. Sovereign 7. I know I have some stuff. Yeah, I have issue 1, and that's it. So I don't have. That was a long-running series. I'm gonna have to look that up for sure. I think there was a Sovereign 7 Plus, and I might have that. Nope, I don't. That was Legion of Superheroes. That'd be a good one to have. Event Comics had Kid Death and Fluffy. I have been trying to fill my Event Comics because most of it's Ash, but I don't know if I have Kid. I think I looked up this Kid Death. There's a Kid Death and Fluffy Halloween special. I don't have that. And a Kid Death and Fluffy Spring Break special. It's interesting that Amanda Connor had been working there back then for Jimmy. Jimmy Palmiotti and Joe Quesada. Those are two that I need to seek out if I want to complete my event comics. And they actually show Palmiotti and Quesada actually appeared on MTV News in January. Interesting. Of that year. This was 1995, April of 1995. That's the date of the Wizard magazine. This is number has Gen 13 on the cover, by the way, and it was number 44. So we turn the page and we got Zen. I don't have too many of that. From Express Publications. Fantagraphics, definitely don't have that. Harris Comics had Vengeance of Vampirella. I have some of that. Vampy, I've got a lot of that now. Recent purchases. Heroic Comics, Flare, and Tigress. I've picked up some of that recently. We'll be switching gears and putting all of its energies into a multimedia CD-ROM line. Users will be able to play with the company's heroes, including the champions. Interesting. Image Comics, Highbrow Entertainment, which I haven't seen them use that term in a while lately. Talking about Savage Dragon, Deadly Duo. I have all that. Super Patriot. I think I might be missing one or two Super Patriots, but other than that, Star, I have that. So there was quite a bit coming out from Eric Larson's company. Shadowline Inc. Valentino had Shadowhawk 15, The Others, and The Regulators. I believe I have all of that. Todd McFarlane talks about Tony Daniel going to be on miniseries Blood Feud. I have that. Perhaps one with Neil Gaiman doing the writing. We all know how that turned out. So we got Top Cow, Pit into its production schedule. Have a pretty much full line of that. There might be, when it switched to Full Bleed Studios, there might be a few I'm missing from that. Talked about them being on NBC Today. Wildstorm. I talk about Foreshadowing and Stormwatch 25. And with collector's cards being in them, Grifter series, new Grifter series, Team 7. I think I have all of these. Congrats should also extend to Jim Lee for his rocking appearance on MTV News last January. A lot of comic news there. Black Hole by Charles Byrne, Kitchen Sink. I've never read that, or nor do I have it. Lightning Comics, I do have some of these. There's a Catfight series I don't think I have. Let's see what that's about. Cat fight. That never came out. If it did, it came out from another company, Insomnia. So that's slightly interesting, and something that I would be interesting. Catfight, a little girl empowered to fight crime, by Prince Nightmare of the Land of Insomnia. In sort of a Shazam-esque way, the little girl turns into a title character who's a grown woman by rubbing an amulet that she wears around her neck. Catfight concentrates on her efforts on fighting crimes against the children and child abuse. Catfight was the first title from Lightning Comics Insomnia imprint. So it was Lightning Comics and Insomnia. They had an imprint within themselves I wasn't aware of. And what else do they have? Sign number and a certificate. Helena Kiss of Death. Probably don't have that, would like it. Helena Kiss of Death. I was right, I don't own that. God dang it. There's just one issues with several covers, including a nude one. See if mine has a picture of the nude one. Ah. Cover one is not too nice. The second print is much nicer. Would like to add Catfight and Helena Kiss of Death to my to purchases list. Also, Razor Burn from London Knight. These ones I have been trying to pick up a full runs of Razor, but it's been slow, and I haven't been becoming a fan and has some Kickstarters. Razor Burn, I own number 2, which is what they're talking about in this issue of Wizard, and then none of the others, and they're 5 issues. So that's a long way to go there. Strike number 0. Let's see if I have that. Strike. That was hard, so strike number 0. Yep, don't own that. Would like to. I should be putting these into my comic shop after I'm done here. This is very interesting. Malibu Comics, I have most of this, if not everything. All of these I have. The Eliminator. I don't remember that one, but I probably have it. Eliminator. And I do have that. Zero issues 0, 1, 2, and 3. And it looks like we're almost getting to Marvel buying them, or if they've already bought them at this point, because there's an ad in this book for that purchase. We have Mantra number 20. Mantra Spear of Destiny. I'm going to look that up just to make sure. It's a good checks and balances of Destiny. It's in there. And I have them, one and two. And then this one I don't remember either. Ultraverse Year Zero. Let's do that one. Ultra Verse Year Zero, Death of the Squad. And I have that, four issues. I have not read that, so I gotta get on that for sure. This is a around the time that I was still getting, no, this is the time I was not getting Malibu. I stopped getting it, and I acquired these much later when I was completing the Dead Universe run. So they're probably all in the same box. Upstairs bedroom. You got it. There's the Necromancer Load Pumpkin flip book. I have that. Maximum Press. Battlestar Galactica and Cybreed. Extreme Zero, Wild Guard. My House is Mud. And Supreme Apocalypse. So I know I have most of the Battlestar Galactica. The Cybrids, I think I've completed. I have. That was pretty recent too. And Wild Guard. Let's see. That's Todd Nock. Wild Guard. There's a couple of these. Image Wild Guard. That's not it, but I have that. That's the. That was Todd Nock. Casting Call I don't own. That was 2003, so that's not that. Firepower. That was Todd Nock, and that was 2004. Fool's Gold Image. 2005. Insider. 2008. That's it. So I don't see anything there from Maxim Press. With My Name is Mud? That doesn't sound familiar. My name is Bruce. There is a My Name is Mud. It wasn't from Maxim Press, but Incognito. So that moved. And that had the. So it was originally slated for Maxim Press, I guess, and then went to Incognito, but that has a 1994 issue. So I'm not sure. Oh! It's just saying that they're doing Wild Guard with the guy who created My Name is Mud, so. Supreme Apocalypse. I thought I had a full run of Supreme, but I know I'm missing some. And it's some of that Alan Moore stuff. And I don't think that ever came out. At least by that title. But there is a Supreme Maximum Press for sure. Supreme. It could be The Return. That was awesome. I have 1C. I am missing some of these. I'm missing issue 5 and number 3. Oh man, I would want those bad. So I gotta go back. I gotta do some stuff with this for sure. Mirage has Construct by Paul Jenkins and Leo Durana. Penthouse Comics number 7. I've been picking up most of Penthouse Comics. A matter of fact, I got the brand new one. I gotta dig into that. Rival Productions has Eye of the Storm. I know nothing about that. Techno Comics. Technophage. So I'm missing. I don't have a lot of Techno Comics, but would like them. Tops, I'm trying to complete too. They were doing Jurassic Park. I do have a few of those, but I don't think I have the annual. Let's see what I got here. Jurassic Park. Wonder why those don't go in price. There are movies about those. No, I'm just kidding. Movie came first. Jurassic Park. Don't have these ones for sure. Could have sworn I had some of these. And I don't see an annual. So, I wonder if there's something else. There's an IDW series I don't have. Jurassic Park magazine. I don't have that from Dark Horse. That's a foreign book. Jurassic Park Adventures. This is surprising me a little bit that I don't have any because I know I have a few. That's why I'm going through it. There's the annual I don't have. I am interested in all these for sure. There's a IDW Jurassic Park Raptor. So I do have Jurassic Park Raptor. I have two copies of that, but not number two. Let's see if I have anything else or if that's it. Raptor's Attack. Don't have any of that. So I got a I know I have a lot of Top Zorro. Raptors Hijack. I don't have any of that. Don't have any of the IDW stuff. Jurassic Strike Force. That I thought I had too. Oh, I have Free Comic Book Day version of that. But I guess I didn't buy it. That was Zenoscope. Maybe I was turned off by. There's two possibilities that that's in the closet upstairs and not inventoried. The ID, the tops definitely I don't have. So, yeah, I got to work on my tops and techno comics. And I was going to go over some of the easy stuff to go over. There's a True Lies video game. I love the ads in these things. Ultraverse toys, action figures. They have those homemade action figures. A lot of birthright Valiant stuff going on. That I do own them. Love that stuff. So let me see what we got here. A top 10 back issues or Gen 13 number one. Could probably get that pretty cheap now, but that was Brandon Choi and J. Scott Campbell and Alex Gardner. Shy number one from Crusade Comics. That's Bill Tucci and Peter Gutierrez. Artists Tucci and Harvey Mercandasio. A lot of Bad Girl stuff. If you even consider Caitlin Gen 13 a bad girl on the cover. You got Lady Death number one by Polito and Steven Hughes. At number three. Number four, you have another Gen 13 number two back issue. this is a bad girl phase, definitely. A Vengeance of Vampirella number one from Harris Comics. Generation X from Marvel. Marvel's first hot book in back issues. Number nine is Lady Death number two. Number six is X-Men Alpha. Number eight is Gen 13 number three. And number 10 is Shy number two. So very consistent things of what they are saying is hot anyway. In the back issue market, wanted to go over the picks from Wizards. Picks. They have a lot of picks, but I'm only going to go over the ones that are really highlighted for 1995. Gen 13, number one. How could they be highlighting that if that's a back issue? Or maybe that was the mini before the ongoing. Yeah, this is the ongoing they're picking as a hot one. Birthquake, they're saying across the board here. Bloodshot, XO, everything. They're saying, hey, Valiant Acclaim is gonna kick some ass. We got the death of Clark Kent. That would be a fun one to read again. And that's when it continues in a bunch of issues. But that's one of their hot picks. Ripclaw number one from Eric Silvestri and Brandon Peterson. Do I have that? And Magic the Gathering from Acclaim Valiant. I know I don't have Magic the Gathering. I have all the other stuff, but Ripclaw? I do have some Ripclaw. I don't know if I have all of it. So we got Ripclaw. None of it. This is shocking me. This can't be right. Ripclaw pilot season I have, but that's surprising that I don't have that. 1995, what was going on? 1995. I was here in my job and I wasn't buying a lot of comics. That makes sense. So, yeah, that explains it. Why I don't have Ripclaw, and I probably should get that. I thought I had a few, though. That's really surprising. I can check my order on my comic shop to see if I ever ordered any, just to verify. But that's something that I would like to have. Let me just verify Gen 13, because maybe my database is fucked up. Let's see, Gen 13. If I could type Gen 13. Yep, I have all of these. Not all the covers, though. I was watching a YouTube video about the cover. He's gonna try to add a report feature. This if Rob listens to this, probably next year. I know he doesn't listen to too many podcasts, but he'll be interested in this. Comic Base has gonna have a new feature. When you pull the reports, they're working on an algorithm that won't give you all the variants, so it's more for like somebody that wants a report, like what issues am I missing and doesn't give a shit about the 20 covers. But they want one of each book. That I'd be really interested in. Yep. Because when I generate a report now, it'll say cover B through I you don't own, and I don't care about B through I. I care about A and then, whatever covers I ordered and whether I have a full run. That's what I care about. I wonder what the mini series is then, if that's Gen 13. Gen 13 mini series, maybe. Yeah, that's what it's called in my database. So I bought two copies of number 0. I don't have a 1, a 0.5, which is bad. Yeah, this is very weird. Says I'm missing issues 2 and 3. And I gotta go check My comic shop. My comic shop. And see if I can pull down my old report. I have to go into my account. Hopefully, I remember my password. Because it's probably going to ask me when I want to look at history. All items ordered. Track, but this one I can. So, maybe it was just completing the first. I'm at the F's now. Gen 13, second series. First series number 0. And minus 1. No, 0. So from them, I didn't get the. Now I'm going to look for Rip Claw. Let's see if we can do a find. Rip Claw. It's not finding it. It could be the way that their tables are formatted in the tool. I'm just going to skip. I can scroll. LMNOP. So there's some of the razors I ordered. Riot gear when I was completing my triumphant. But yeah, man, I got a lot to do. I mean, there's some really important things I'm missing. Especially in that Gen 13. I need the 0.5 and of the limited series and the number 2 and 3. They should be really cheap. So, yes, Gary, thank you. You're pointing out stuff that I'm missing here. And I'm going to talk about the top 100 because, God, I miss the top 100 so much. It's unbelievable. But at this time, number 1 is Mutants, the Amazing X-Men number 2. Mutants, the Astonishing X-Men number 2. Is number 2, Weapon X number 2. So that's that apocalypse or whatever that world is, Age of Apocalypse event that Marvel's doing has got all the hot books from Diamond. Number 4 is Spawn 29. Number 5 is Marvel again. Generation Next number 2. Number 6 is Gambit and the Externals number 2. Number 7 is Factor X number 2. Number 8 is X-Men number 2. Number 9 is Amazing Spider-Man number 400. And number 10 is Excalibur, spelled weird, but for the Age of Apocalypse number 2. Let's see. Anything? I would like to go through the whole list, but I'm already. Let's go where the first DC is, and that's Batman 517 and Superman number 99. Adventures of Superman 522. So this is when Superman's doing pretty good in sales. Superman Man of Steel number 43. Action Comics 709. So everything. And then Detective. So you got Superman and Batman doing fairly well. They're in the top 25. Azrael at 26. Image has Angela at number 3. Dark Horse's earliest entry is Star Wars Dark Empire 2, number 3. Let's see if we have any other companies that kind of show up here. That are non-image. Harris has Vengeance of Vampirella 11 at 48. Blood Wolf number 1. That's one book that I definitely want if I don't have it. And I'm pretty sure I have it, but it's better to check. I would be pissed if I'm losing data and I don't know it. No, I have that. It's interesting that I have cover A though, and not cover 1 by Rob Liefeld. I have the headshot. I'd rather have number one, but I have one through four, so that's good. We're still just Image, DC, blah 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 blah, Dark Horse. So, oh, Techno has its first entry at number 62 with Gene Roddenberry's Lost Universe. And then shortly after that, they have Leonard Nimoy's Primortals. So they have some books that are scoring. Hamilton has Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 4. And Harris has another entry. No other companies. It's all Image. Oh, Bongo has something at 96. Simpson Comics number 8. So got an interesting list. I would like to study that list more and break it down. Let's go back a year and see what was the top 10. We had X-Men number 31, Uncanny X-Men 311, Amazing Spider-Man 388, Pitt number 3, Wolverine 80, Wildcats number 6, X-Men 2099 number 9, X-Force 33, Marvel Superman 88 and Adventures of Superman 511. So DC scored in the top 10, but man, they were down there. So 2 years ago, the number one book was Stormwatch number one. The second one was Spawn number 10. Number three was Darker Image number two. Number four was Ryan the Future Force number nine. Number five was Pitt number four. Number six was Venom number three. X-Men number 19 from Marvel. Uncanny X-Men number 299. Magnus Robot Fighter from Valiant number 24. And Wildstar Sky Zero number 2. That was the Jerry Ordway book. 3 years ago, X-Men was at the top, number 7. Uncanny X-Men was following, 287. X-Force number 9. Cage number 1. Spider-Man number 21, Youngblood number 1. There you go, Rob. Punisher Warzone number 2. Marvel Comics Presents number 100, Wolverine number 53, and X-Factor 77. So you can see that Marvel had almost everything except for the Image book that DC wasn't nowhere to be seen in the top 10. 3 years ago from 1995, and 2 years ago in 1990, from 1995, DC had nothing in the top 10. Can you believe that? Oh, let's talk about it, man. Let's discuss. Give me some questions, and we'll talk some more about this. But Capital City Distribution has some pie charts. What are these? Peace share of the comic market for January. This is units, okay? So just giving you some idea of Marvel owned was had 36.42% of the units. DC had 20.35 for the units. Image had 13.83. Others had 18.61. Acclaim had 3.13. Malibu had 3.77, and Dark Horse had 3.89. So, a lot of fun stuff, man. I could talk about this stuff for days, okay? So, the discouraging thing is that going through this little exercise live is I'm missing some Gen 13. That's the biggest hit. The Ripclaw, I knew I just finished Cyber Force recently. The run of Cyber Force and codename Strike Force. Let me just make sure. Cyber Force, Volume 1. Let's just do Volume 1 for now. And it looks like I have everything. But just to verify, yeah, that's all good. And some copies, I have two of them. Let's do volume two, the ongoing. And just a quick scan, it looks like I have a full run there. So I'm okay there. And then there's code name. Oh, I don't know how to spell. That's why. Code name strike. STRY. Strike force. This one I should have a full run of as well. And it looks that way. Just bruising. Yeah, through 14. And is there another one? I thought there were two volumes of that. Code of Honor. Don't own that. That'd be cool. Chuck Dixon and Brad Parker. Right? That's one thing going through this database pisses me off because, man, I want everything. Oh, the other code name Strike Force was from Spectrum, 1984. That would be a good one to have. I think Bill has this one. But think that's enough of that. And let's see if I have any questions. I may have a question or two. Messages, notifications. Oh, I have to go to more on the PC and look at bookmarks. So, Dallow has a question here. I'm less than halfway through Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's a big read. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, it sounds like you're getting exhausted. Is it worth preserving to the end? Oh yeah, that's my favorite event of all time, to this day. But you got to remember how mind-blowing it was for me because I'm a DC fan growing up as a kid, going back to the 70s, and then seeing them acquire other companies like Quality and Fawcett and the Charlton characters and all these different that were on different worlds, and then they're collapsing them into one. It just was mind blowing. You have the death of certain characters, which I don't want to give away because it sounds like you're halfway there. But if you're not enjoying it and it's a function of your time, I'll tell you, I enjoy it and I read it, I don't know, once every 10 years or so. But it could be that I just love the thing and you just love it. You know how that works. And this being your first time, I can't tell you to like it. I can tell you I love it, but I can't tell you to like it. You gotta determine that on your own. So, good question, but you need to do that on your own. If you don't like something and it's painful to get through, and you're not enjoying the art and you're not enjoying the story, then it's probably not for you. This one I think is new too. A question for Mike M's Weekly Reads. How do you think your collecting habits will change in 2024? This one I've answered before. I know this, so I just didn't untag it. So, I think I've gotten through all of this. I do want to point out that I was really disappointed. I was watching Cartoonist Kayfabe, and they were interviewing one of my fa he was interviewing one of my favorite creators, Tom Scioli. And I found out he had a Kickstarter that flew under my radar called Witchman, and I didn't get in on it. I'm so discouraged. And he said there would be some at cons, but I haven't been to cons other than Heroes, and I don't. There was a time where I was going to so many cons, and now I'm just not seeing as many cons, but maybe I'll go to Baltimore this year. We'll see. But good questions, and please keep them coming. Let me know just on the IM, if you will, what you're not liking on Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'd like to know, Dallo, and thank you for the question as always. You're the one guy that I know listens continuously to this my rambling of nonsense every week. So I have a couple of loyal listeners. I don't have a lot. Everybody's listening to Robservations, probably. Like, I even listen to Robservations. I like his podcast quite a bit. I have a lot of common with him in terms of time frame growing up with comics. He Rob has about 2 years on me, and but our passion, I think, for the comics, other than he can create and he can draw, as a consumer, I've definitely outgrossed him on consuming. I know that for a fact. And I know that I love more than him, and I don't ever venture away from things usually. I always find good in stuff, like no matter what period. Like he was talking about, how Hawks Pox didn't work for him. But I thought it was great, and I thought there were some things that came good out of Hawks Pox, Wolverine and X-Force, and I've liked X-Men, and I really like, even though I don't buy it and read it digitally, is that's the one that I wish I would have gotten instead of some of the others. But Immortal X-Men, I really like that title. Like that one is top. If I had to pick a title out of the X universe, that would be it. X-Men Red. If it wasn't for Storm, like I love Storm as a character. If it wasn't for her, I can name five of the characters in that are. I don't care about any of the Martian characters, and I don't mean to be labor all the work that he's put into it. It just, I'm sorry, I was reading a text from Barb, but I gotta like wrap this one up. I gotta get going, man, because she comes home and I really feel like reading some comics. Oh, the other thing I would like to tell my listeners is I'm discovering James Bond. I know that you're gonna be like, "What is that? What are you, James Bond?" I have never cared about the character. I have seen some of them. I don't think I've ever gone to a James Bond movie at the theater, just because I've never cared about spy genre. But I did like Casino Royale, and I've seen most of, I think I've seen most of the Dennis Craig. I've seen Octopussy, which I'm gonna watch again, for sure. And I don't know which other ones I've seen. Maybe another Roger Moore. And if I have seen A Spy Who Loved Me, I remember having the single. I had this like movie record that had like themes from every. It had Star Wars on there, and there was like a James Bond theme, and then there was like The Spy Who Loved Me, and a couple other things, and on there I couldn't remember, but I wonder what happened to the like my records, like Disco Duck and a couple other things. I know I have some of the records here. Didn't have a lot of records. It was more into the 8 tracks. I had more 8 tracks and cassettes, and now CDs. But never got into the records just because I couldn't play them when I cared about listening to the music the most in my car, or I'd have to get the record and then cut it to a recordable cassette. But I recently wrapped up about 6 movies in the genre of, I don't know what you'd call it, being hunted, survivalists, movies where you're like being stalked by something or someone or a group of people. I don't know why I watch those movies, but I've watched them. I even watched one called Drive-In, but or Dr Trunk Dri drive something or another, and it took place entirely of a woman in, locked inside of a car trunk. Good movie. She was a good actress to be able to keep my interest in a trunk for an hour and a half. But I got tired of that, just like I get tired of everything and need to move on. And I didn't know what to go to. I wasn't feeling in the horror genre. And I hadn't touched much of the spy genre, so I said, I'm going to watch A View to a Kill. And it had Christopher Walken, and I loved the theme from Duran Duran, and I enjoyed the heck out of it, and decided to watch another Roger Moore, because Roger Moore was the Bond when I was a kid growing up. And so I started, and I watched in the 70, I think it's 73, Live and Let Live, or the one by Paul McCartney. Live and Let Die. That's what it's called, Live and Let Live. Live and Let Die. And that was even better to me as a movie, because I just thought it to have some quirks and stuff, and the fact that it went into the world of voodoo and the way it ended, like, blew my mind. Like, it sort of blew my mind. It had some quirky stuff. Like, there was a sheriff in there that was like a comedic relief, and there was some crazy shit in that movie. And it had Jacqueline Bisset, who I had I think within the last 5 years I watched The Deep, and I fell in love with her. And then she was in this one as Solitaire, a woman of the cards. But yeah, I'm into the James Bond now, and what I want to do is get back into my Dynamite James Bond reading. I want to go to the box and pick them out, and I'm really excited for some James Bond. And I started I can't watch all of them if I'm doing the streaming thing. For some reason HBO has a good chunk of them, but not all of them. So I'm either going to have to go the rental route if I'm really ecstatic. I was going to get the DVDs, but Barb said, if you get those, are you really going to watch them all? Or are you going to just pile them up with all your other DVDs? And I began thinking, and I've been pretty effective with my Charles Bronson movies and stuff like that, just waiting for them on streaming. And I wouldn't mind having some of these Bond movies, though. I am really liking Roger Moore. I know I have watched another one. I don't know if it's Timothy Dalton or another one, but I never went to the theater to see these things. I might have seen Casino Royale at the theater. He's a totally different Bond in my opinion. Like, I haven't gotten any Sean Connery, which I'll probably watch a couple of those because there's a couple of them available on HBO Max. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. So I need to pause for the cause here and total up my issues read, so I'll be right back. All right, let's get to this, man. We're going to try to do 2 weeks, and we'll start with the movies watch. This is for the week of Christmas, December 25th through 12/31, and we'll see what we did on there. We had two things I watched: Rebel Moon on Netflix, the Star Wars version from Zack Snyder of his epic tale of, it was like a Magnificent Seven type, a coming together of people to defend a world. I enjoyed that 4 out of 5. And then the next one I liked a little more was Gran Turismo, which is based on a true story about people taking video gamers into real life racing. So we had a total of 29 comics, not a lot on that, but there was a lot going on with relatives. But still a decent number. 1 Valiant, 12 Marvel, 4 Image, 4 Dynamite, 8 DC. The 3 out of 5s were "Tis the Season to Be Freezin'," number 1. This is an anthology by DC Comics. A bunch of Christmas type stories. They were okay. I enjoyed some more than others. These big giant books, man. I think I'm just gonna read on the app going forward, unless it's something like Milestone Characters or something like that. But I think I can read those on the app, even though it's DC. Death of Venomverse, read that one on the app. So I own Tis the Season to Be Freezin', but Death of Venomverse, read that one on the app and enjoyed that. That was okay. Not as good as the upcoming one that I'll talk about, but ties into it. The 3 out of 5 also was Batman Santa Claus Silent Night number 4. The JLA and Santa defeat the creature possessing Krampus, and Krampus and Damien help Santa deliver the gifts. The 4 out of 5s were Tarzan from DC Comics 209 through 212, just telling a lot of good Tarzan stories about him and his tales from at Joe Kubert. We have Flash number 3. This is the new series. The villain is revealed as Flash works for Mr. Terrific and Max Mercury. Max makes a sacrifice in the fight. We have Magnus Robot Fighter from Dynamite Comics, number 1 through 4. Just reading that on the app because I was on holiday. We have Cult of Carnage, Misery, number 5. This is one that I wouldn't mind owning the physical copies with because I enjoyed the hell out of it. But it continues the Liz Allen story, and her adopted son is kidnapped by a Carnage creature. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the art, and I really enjoyed the story. Probably one of the better symbiote, however you want to say it, symbiote stories that I've read in a while that really clicked with me. I got really into that one. Witchblade 15 through 17. Suspended from the police force, Sarah finds herself working as a spy for a government agency, and they betray her to get the Witchblade. Sarah tries to draw the Witchblade out, and she needs it, but it does not come. Jake rekindled relationship, did not last long. He's a bitter fucker too about that. It's weird. Going forward anyway. And the police force is trying to regroup after the Yakuza destroyed the station. Couple things of interest about Witchblade. Okay, so I don't own a lot of Witchblade for whatever reason. I own a few. And I caught on to it during Ron Marz writing it much later and became I became a fan where I was always purchasing it. One thing I've noticed about this that's really surprising is there are a lot of talking head stuff going on. Especially with somebody as Michael Turner drawing, not taking advantage of his abilities, in my opinion, or maybe his sequential stuff isn't that great at this point. But it while I enjoy the hell out of it, it is very surprising, the pace of the book. But we'll see as we go on, as I'm trying to read a lot of it. We have Eternal Warrior Scorched Earth hardcover. This was a Kickstarter from Valiant. This one I do own. So I own Tarzan's. I own the Batman, Santa Claus, Tis the Season to Be Freezin', Flash, obviously. Eternal Warrior Scorched Earth. This is the Kickstarter. This is about. What's her name? Tara? She's a geomancer, and Eternal Warrior is protecting her, but he has to go into a kind of like a netherscape, or I don't know what you want to call it, to fight somebody that he's encountered before. And that somebody has joined, it's like a godlike creature that's joined forces with a company, and Tana, I think is her name. Tana, Eternal Warrior's like overprotective or don't want to do anything, but when Eternal Warrior goes to fight this god like in this netherworld, or let's call it the in-between, I don't remember what it's called, but let's call it like a purgatory type of place. He goes to fight a god essentially. He puts his brother in charge, Armstrong in charge of protecting Tana, I think that's her name, the Geomancer. And then she, Armstrong's less restrictive with the rules and stuff, so he lets her do her thing, and she becomes a voice for kind of like the environment and everything, which is against the company that that guy sided with, the that's polluting everything. So she becomes a voice, and he's constantly fighting with her essentially. And Armstrong's like helping her along, and she saves the day a couple of times, and other times she's attacked, and it's a very interesting story. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and Valiant did publish out the soft cover later on, which I also own because I'm a completist of Valiant. But I was happy with the Kickstarter overall. Spawn the Dark Ages, reading this digital even though I own this. The Druids attack Covenant and strip him of his powers. At this time in Christmas, I was back home in Albuquerque reading on my iPad, so even if I own the book, I was reading everything digitally. I didn't take any physical media with me. I think I took a hardcover in case I needed a backup plan, but I never got to it. So most of this reading was done at night. So the Druids attack Covenant and strip him of his powers. Is he now rotting flesh and blood? So did he become human? Now that the necroplasm is gone, Covenant is nearly killed by bandits. As he heads towards Ryle, a young boy frees Covenant and from his chains, and he goes to Cagliostro for help. But now that he no longer is a Hellspawn, he wants nothing to do with him anymore. This series is Liam Sharp drawn beauty, amazing. It's really good storytelling. I like the hell out of it. And McFarlane's bringing back Liam Sharp for Medieval Spawn book coming soon to a comic shop near you. Daredevil number 5 through 14. This is the Elektra Daredevil and Daredevil fighting sort of. This ties into the Punisher. A battle between the fist and the hand. The fist is Daredevil and the hand is the Punisher. And Daredevil loses his soul in hell and maybe his memory when he saves Foggy and the others. Elektra remains Daredevil. The fist also has to take on the Avengers because he broke out several prisoners to serve their sentence with the fist. It's a very interesting series, and it ties into making like one of Matt Murdock's school or college buddies, a godlike angel. I don't know what to call him, 'cause it's he's basically there to torture. I've seen this before. Maybe it's Hush, of Daredevil's Hush. He's there to make Matt a better Daredevil, so he's gonna torture him all he can. But it's a very interesting concept, and I'll be interested to watch the new creative team to see what where they go from this, because Daredevil at this point in time is sort of dead. And I did read ahead of a little bit, not reading the new ongoing, but reading the Spider-Man crossover Gang War, so it kind of got me up to speed a little bit. The 5 out of 5 was a solo book. This it was Alan Scott Green Lantern number 2. Absolutely love this. I accidentally included this in my last episode. Like I read this, but I didn't have totals for it, and it was in the pictures for the episode. And this is really where it belonged. But he checks himself into Arkham and becomes a nightmare. Basically, becomes a nightmare. He checks him in because he's like, "What's wrong with me? Am I gay? What, you know, I'm gay, a gay man, And at that time in World War II was thought like something was mentally wrong with you. So he checks himself in. When he gets out, he forms a train company, and his competition destroys the train and everyone in it as he finds the lantern and becomes Green Lantern. It ties in with his origin. It was just a masterful telling. I absolutely adored it. And then the following week, I read the actual first appearance of Alan Scott, made me love it even more. So then we get into the week of January 1st through January 7th. We had a lot going on that week, and I was off that week, so this it'll explain to you what I spent my time doing. I did a lot of chores around the house and stuff, things I needed to take care of, but Barb was working that week, and I was pretty much catching up, archiving my comics, reading, watching TV, and you'll see how much stuff. It was incredible. I watched Obsession. That was one of those weird movies like Fatal Attraction that I enjoyed. Honeymoon. That was like somebody. That was an unusual movie. That was like a boyfriend and girlfriend going getting married and then going on a honeymoon, and then it like went crazy, crazy town, man. Became like a horror thing where the guy doesn't know what's going on with his wife and she doesn't remember like her previous stuff. She's got like short-term memory, and it's almost like something that ties into the Druids or something. It's very unusual. It was a really good. Then another Charles Bronson, becoming a Charles Bronson expert. A White Buffalo. This is Buffalo Bill hunting down the White Buffalo, and him teaming up with another person. It was very interesting, but it wasn't my favorite Charles Bronson Western for sure, but it was a good one. We have Iron Claw. What was that? Oh, Iron Claw was the at the theater. That was about the wrestlers, the Von Erichs. Really good movie, incredible movie. That's when I was into wrestling. I was watching the wrestling on Saturday mornings with the Von Erichs and the Flying Thunderbirds. So this was a fun movie. My wife liked it as well because she watched it at that time. Yeah, it was good stuff. The 5 out of 5s, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. I actually liked this better than the first one. I just thought the plot was really solid, tied into sort of like Aquaman's kid and Black Manta. And if you know what the comics history is, it went a different way because you don't want to kill the kid, but in the comic book, the kid died. But yeah, it was really good. I really liked it. I really liked the acting in it. I really liked the special effects. I way better than I thought it was. And then finally, the 5 out of 5, the prequel to Money Heist, Berlin, focusing on Berlin. Absolutely amazing series on Netflix. Absolutely adored it. I expected to adore it, and I did adore it. Read 59 comics that week, one Verotic, one Sumerian. That one's published by Whatnot Massive, but I still call them Sumerian, or you can call it Behemoth. I'm actually filing that one. No, I'm filing that one with Whatnot, but I file all the Sumerian books prior to that with Behemoth because it crossed over during the purchase, and I needed to keep 3 with 4 and all that, so I just kept publishing them with Behemoth, even though it says Sumerian on it. Kind of a weird way of doing it, but I did it. We have one Scout, two Rebel, that was the Faust, Marvel 24, that was a lot, one Image, one Gold Key, one Distillery, 21 DC, that was a lot too, one Dark Horse, one Boom, one Blood Moon, and three Antarctic. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Star Wars Vision, Peach Momoko. This is a Sith gets destroyed by as a young woman. This was decent. I read it because it was out and it looked like a fast read and I just wanted to read it. But probably not great. You know, I'm getting all the Star Wars books, and this one was not. But there was another Visions one that I liked way better than this one. We have action, and this was all visual. I don't think if I remember correctly, I don't think a word was said in most of it. Action Comics presents Doomsday Special. I rated this a 3 out of 5 as well. Martian Manhunter and Supergirl go to hell to stop Doomsday, and it had Bloodwind also in hell. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Basic Instinct number 1. Epic Murders picked up this, which continues with the story from the movie. Sheer Curiosity and Vanessa Del Rey because of her art. I loved her art, and even have a shadow commission from her. Security officer killed at a serial killer exhibit, and the woman performing art is killed by the snake she is performing with. We have Fantasy Comics number 2. The lead female and her friends qualify to join a group of heroes and go on a quest. We have Gru, gods against Gru. Gru unleashes chaos when he starts to be worshipped as a god. He introduces them to hot cheese dip, and what I them is the gods actually. It's a weird series because Gru exists on Earth fighting, and he's also in heaven because as the people started to worship him, he was like two places at once, which was very weird. We have Tarzan 213 through 214. That one, I own these. I read them digitally because there was a collected edition Tarzan book on the app. We have Horror Comics 26 through 27, Kitchen Nightmares, Man Hates Doctors. So when he has a tooth pain, it destroys his face. That was a good one. And a woman wishes bad for her, an ex, and he loses his teeth on the nightmare date. Witchblade 188, Witchblade 18. Witchblade is tracking down the killings that lead her into a run-in with the darkness. We got City Boy 3 through 6. Excellent story and character. So much potential, but we will never know because the majority of these fans flock to characters they already know. So a lot of people, I think, are not reading this. When books become $4.99, less people are going to try something new. So I think this line of Asian books, while really good in quality, didn't attract a lot of readers. But I don't know because we don't have any indicators from sales numbers. I'm just assuming that. With this power set, you can go big or you can keep it small, solving crimes because of the way his power set works. We have Faust 6 through 7. John breaks Jade out of prison and they make some serious love for like 8 pages. Then M and Claire decide to have some crazy sex. Meanwhile, Peter Gabriel's Red Rain plays in the background. We have Mom Breaks the Internet number 2. Not as good as the first issue for sure. The woman who gets laid convinces her friends to form a group Mom, capital MOM, to take down the evil on the internet. We got Hallows Eve 3 through 5. Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 1. Oh, so I need to add one more to the Marvel because the annual was listed there too. So that's 25, taking me over to 60 books. God, I could hardly wait to retire and read 60 books a week, if not more. That'd be heaven. She saves the guard who she turned into a werewolf from the Beyond Corporation and sneaks her husband out of limbo. That's Ben, who's now called. Was the Scarlet Spider, but what's he called now? I don't remember. Cyborg number 4. Cyborg must stop an assault on Detroit by a guy that manipulated his father. That was really good. Mosley number 1. This is from Boom. Mosley leaves his family for a year to hang out with AI and teach them. Years later, he hates the world and becomes, and has become a robot fighter. We have Scooby-Doo 33 through 35. The gang tries to save a dying theater and deal with a ghost dog and a haunted burger joint next to a pizza in a cup. We talked about that in Geek Brunch Retro because me and Joe loved the hell out of that Scooby-Doo story. It was amazing, incredible. Phantom number 4 from Gold Key started the new year off kicking the Phantom. He took on the googly-eyed pirates and some witch doctors who were jealous of the local doctor. We have Action Comics 1057 through 1058. Clark interviews the girl from the terrorist organization, and her jewelry absorbs Superman's powers, and she gives it to her assistant to fight Superman. I should have read this before I read the latest one, because I couldn't remember why she lost her. He lost the powers, and he was wearing armor. Clark overwhelms that Superman with power overlord. China Superman wants to learn the secret origins of his family, but will he die in the process? John and his father defeat the alien kidnapper and restore justice. We have Verotic 30th, the 30th anniversary special, number one. Hellmask released in medieval times. A voodoo princess brings back evil, and a detective is working on a serial killer murder. I really enjoyed this, but I want more. It was like an anthology of really good art and story, but it's like I want more. And I don't know, Verotic shows up like once every 6 months, you know? And I usually get what they have to offer, but. And if I have any back issues, I find I do purchase them. We have Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Gang War. God, I hope I hit play. Oh, yeah, I did. That would be exhausting to go back. Gang War number one. Shang-Chi tries to maintain justice in Chinatown when attacked by Mr. Negative and the Asian Vampire Gang. He loses 10 rings as he is betrayed by one of his most trusted friends. We have Daredevil Gang War number one. Electro deals with the chaos that is in Hell's Kitchen. We got Spider-Woman 1 and 2. Jessica deals with coping with her son being gone since she came back and fighting with Diamond Head and Hydra. So I gotta check my messages to make sure Barb isn't. Okay. She isn't on her way yet, which is surprising because she worked a lot of hours like I did. I hit my 40 yesterday, so today was just bonus hours. Jessica deals with her son being gone since she came back fighting with Diamond Head and Hydra. We talked about that. Luke Cage, Gang War 1 and 2. Luke deals with the politics of the war and forms a team with Jessica, Danny, Cloak and Dagger to go after Smythe and his Spider Slayers. We got Amazing Spider-Man 29 through 41. I went to town on catching up with Amazing Spider-Man, which led me to Gang War. We got Doc Ock and Kraven after the Norman sagas, the wedding of the Robinson and Tombstone's daughter, and it kicks off Gang War when Tombstone is shot up and Gang War breaks out. I really enjoyed the Doc Ock and Kraven stories, but they were really similar. Really enjoying Spider-Man. It's just a great book. There are a lot of people that don't like it, but it works. It's working for me. Violent Descends. Enjoyed Violent Descends about an angel that decides she did not want to do her job anymore and chaos ensues. We have All American Comics number 16. It's the first appearance of Alan Scott. Took me a whole hour to read, so definitely got your money's worth for sure. And the Alan Scott Green Lantern story is fantastic and great companion piece to the current Alan Scott miniseries. Enjoyed most of the backup stories as well. Steelworks 4 through 6. The guy that hired John releases a huge steel monster on Metropolis using War World tech. The one villain changes sides to change the course of the battle. Will Steelworks still exist? What form will they be in now? We got Penguin number 3, the last 4 out of 5. It took me a while, but Tom King is one of my favorite writers in comics. Penguin is amazing. And who would have thought the 4th of July would be cool again? And those are villains that were introduced in The Outsiders. We have the 5 out of 5s. We have Batman number 139. Batman separates himself from the family and goes after the Joker, three Jokers. Vandal Savage is alive and has to stay in Gotham. We got Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War, Scorched Earth. The conclusion is they team up with Vandal Savage meteor shower. They team up to stop the Vandal Savage meteor shower from destroying the Earth. Batman captures Jason and makes the sacrifice to stop the meteor, but parachutes out. It almost looked like he was gonna die. Catwoman believed to be dead as she falls into the pit with Vandal. Scandal Savage was tricked by her father. And that's also in the story Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War, Red Hood, number two. So that's a summary of both those books. We got the top book for that week was Somna, number one from Distillery. So I was hesitant to even participate in Distillery, but this book was top notch for me personally. It's just art and story was just clicking with me. Every panel looked great. It's a large magazine st style format, which I don't always care for, but it worked really good in this case. But a woman and her husband deal with witchcraft and extracurricular affairs. So that wraps us just a summary of the week's stuff. The five out of fives were Batman 139, Batman Catwoman Gotham War Scorched Earth number one, Batman Catwoman Gotham War Red Hood number two, and Somna. And the previous week, the number five was Alan Scott Green Lantern number two. So there you go. A lot of DC's 5 out of 5s, some Distillery in there, and a lot of 4 out of 5s, and a couple of 3 out of 5s, which are, I mean, I like them, but they didn't blow my socks off. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was quite long. We're hitting on 1 hour and 30 minutes, and I'm glad I got it done. Got it taken care of, and I want to thank Dallo for the question again. And I hope you enjoyed the wizard breakdown as much as I did, and also got me a little depressed that there's some books that I need to rectify, and I need to get into my database and get purchased. So there you go. We'll talk to you again in a week or two. And thanks for listening. And you can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you'll find Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and on DC Spotlight. I is currently on hiatus. I haven't figured out what to do now that my co-host needed to step away, and I tried a new co-host, and that wasn't working out because of timing. So I don't know what's going to happen with that one yet, or if I can just cover it here. I haven't decided, like, will it make it cheaper to release it? But I still have to keep it open long enough for me to download the archive for sure. So I want to thank you for listening, and keep reading comics. That's from Challengers Com Comics. They always say that. Keep reading comics. Comics are a great thing. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on X and Blue Sky, and also on Facebook underneath the Facebook group Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there. And if you really want to, you can go to Geek Brunch Podcast and leave a comment there. I will see it because I touch that every week when I upload a podcast. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, and I hope life is good to you.